We're just like 30 seconds early, but we got a lot of fun packed in. So I will get you started, remind you to turn off your cell phones, make them quiet. We don't need extra instrumentation today. This is session 161, Inclusive Language in the LDS Hymnal, a panel that we've squeezed into a one-hour slot with, who do we have? Way on the end. Well, way, way, way on the end, hiding, is going to be our pianist, Alan Eastman. And he usually plays the piano for our Sunstone events, and you got a little taste of some of his Follow Not Swallow the Prophet. On our far end here is Bob Reese. He is... been busy this morning running from presentation to presentation. We can tell you here that he is a co-founder and vice president of the Liahona Children's Foundation, and you can find some of his books in the book room. He has edited Why I Stay, The Challenges of Disciple for Contemporary Mormonship. The Challenges of Discipleship for Contemporary Mormons. Passing out our wonderful music, some new songs that we're going to get to sing, is Vicki Eastman. She knows Alan real well, and she is a retired freelance executive recruiter with a BA in English from Stanford University. And our last panelist, not least, is here on the dais and finalizing her computer guru-ness, Jane Ann Peterson, who says she's on extended military leave. extended maternity leave from law practice. It's 14 years now. So, you know, you can retire at extended maternity leave, what you can do. She is a wonderful musician and fills her time with music, teaching elementary students, and singing in a chamber choir. Sometime if you get a chance, ask her about what she used to sing with her sister that has to do with animals. With that, I'll turn it over to Bob to get started. Then we'll hear from Vicki sing some songs, hear from Jane Ann, and sing some more songs, and hopefully have a chance for a question.
By now it's a cliche, but my stake president in Los Angeles used to say there is no meeting that can't be improved by good speaking and less of it and more music and more of it. So hopefully we'll have at least as much singing as we have speaking. I begin with a quote from Alexander Campbell. A hymn book is as good an index to the brains and the heart of a people as a creed book. One of the enlightened revelations of the Restoration is the sentiment that all are alike unto God, male and female. Yet this ideal has yet to be realized in the contemporary church. In the recent past, the church seems to have become aware of the asymmetry between the lived experience in the church between men and women, and have taken some small but nevertheless significant and symbolic steps to create at least the perception of a gesture toward equality. One step the church could take that could have a significant impact on the way girls and women feel is to make the hymnal gender inclusive. Since hymns are the only liturgical element of Mormon worship in which everyone has an equal opportunity to participate, it is and one that occupies such a prominent part of our worship experience, it would make a huge difference if in the next revision of the hymnal, inclusive language is used wherever possible. The church has made significant changes in each revision of the hymnal, and it should be fairly easy for it to be more attentive to language in the next version, whenever it is planned. With specific reference to gender-inclusive texts, Douglas Campbell observes, quote, "In the process of reviewing changes between the 1948 and 1985 hymnals, I discovered many changes from gender-exclusive language to gender-neutral language. I found nearly two-thirds of the hymns were gender-neutral. I was surprised to find the ratio of male gender-exclusive language to female gender-exclusive language was 147-2. Thus, for nearly 30 years, a third of our hymns for both male and female voices have been male gender exclusive, and those composed for single gender voices, that is the ones in the back for women's voices and men's voices, There are twice as many for men as there are for women. In the current hymnal, there are 9 male terms, man, male, men, brother, as opposed to 4 female, sister, daughter, mother. While the hymnal contains a number of mononyms for men, for example, Adam, Abraham, Moroni, Nephi, Joseph, etc., it contains none for women. In addition, some of the female gender words include those for non-female entities, such as Zion, let her walls rejoice, Zion's hill, her light should shine, the earth, let earth receive her king, and of course, Babylon, all her towers are thrown. A final one, which Carolyn Pearson noted in her Why I Stay presentation last summer, is the grave. As Carolyn observes, last Sunday I sang with the congregation the beautiful hymn, "We'll sing all hail to Jesus' name," and in the midst of 8 pronouns honoring masculine divinity, there was only 1 feminine pronoun. The grave yield up her dead. There's no love in that, she says, and the insult is not lost on the psyches of women and men, boys and girls, and of course, she said, I sang, let the grave yield up its dead rather than her dead. Of the 147 hymns in the hymnal that still have masculine dominant language, most would require only a simple substitution of words or phrases to make them acceptable. Male pronouns can often be changed by substituting the first person or second person plural, as for example in the hymn, "Prayer is the soul's sincere desire," in which instead of "he enters heaven with prayer," it could simply read "we" or "they enter heaven with prayer." In most instances, the same kind of simple change can be made with the noun "man." Thus, "and to man their power extending" becomes "and to us their power extending." Or "God is just to every man" becomes "God is just to every one." "Death is conquered, man is free. Death is conquered, we are free." These are simple and easy changes. Lines ending in masculine nouns or pronouns present a bigger challenge, but one that can rather often easily be fixed. For example, in the sacrament hymn, "O thou before the world began," the line, "O thou before the world began ordained a sacrifice for man," could easily be changed to read, "O thou before the world was formed, before the garden was adorned." Here are some other simple examples. "Freedom and reason make us free. Take these away, what would we be? He died to make us holy. Let us live to make all free, not just man free. He is sifting out the hearts of all before his judgment seat." And one that makes particular sense with the church's emphasis on humanitarian work, "The world has need not of helping of helping men, but of helping hands," instead of "willing men," of helping hands. Campbell notes how inventive and generous the revisers of the 1948 hymnal were when they adjusted texts for the 1985 hymnal. To begin with, they eliminated 200 hymns, which would also be a good strategy when it comes to upgrading the current hymnal. Thus, many texts that are male-dominant could simply be dropped. Eliminating hymns can be especially challenging when it comes to general authorities, some of whom are aunts or grandmothers who compose some of the songs that we sing, who have their own favorite that they learned in primary and are not going to give it up. Alexander Schreiner illustrates this with a text written by Apostle John Widsoe titled, "Father, Lead Us Out of Darkness." Schreiner wanted to eliminate this hymn from the 1948 hymnal, not only because it was never sung, but because it was insensitive to other believers. Apostle Widsoe objected strenuously. "I don't want anybody to change the words. Non-members are in darkness," he said. But Elder Widsoe, Brother Schreiner argued, "when you go to state conference and give an inspirational talk and an enlightening message to the saints, how would you feel if the stake president announced that the closing hymn would be, 'Father, lead me out of darkness'?" The hymn remained in the hymnal, but the title was changed to "Lead Me into Life Eternal." Campbell explains how the revisers of early hymnals were sensitive to ethnic changes by references by eliminating or changing such phrases as, "Wash the Ethiopian white," Asia's dark regions and Africa's black legions, idle Indian hearts, savage customs, the curse of darkness from our skins shall flee. I still remember singing about the rude, untutored Indian in an older version of For the Strength of the Hills. Some of you remember that as well. Other changes, for example, the 1948 hymnal included the Utah-centric hymn, O Happy Hour, Communion Suite. Well, Happy Hour didn't have the same connotation in Utah that it did elsewhere. So in the 1985 hymnal, that was changed to O Blessed Hour. With the advent of the church's new website, mormonsengaged.org, one wonders if a change made from 1948 to 1985 hymnal might be restored. Thus, the revised text, Sunshine Chases Clouds Away, might revert to the original, Sunshine Makes the Heart So Gay. But don't hold your breath. Finally, in addition to making the text hymnal completely gender neutral, as it did with the 1985 revision, the church could commission new hymns, some of which could reflect the cultural and ethnic diversity of the church, and some of which could reflect the concerns and values of contemporary Mormons. This would be an excellent opportunity to commission more hymns by women and more hymns reflective of women's sensibilities. A gender-neutral hymnal could be a blessing to all, men and women, again, to quote Campbell. The accidental, unwilled, historical pattern of male gender-exclusive language in a hymnal sends the accidental, unwilled, subtle message, which can be interpreted by youth, converts, single-parent families, widows, married, and unmarried women, that men are more important. A new hymnal should make it easier for us to make a joyful noise to the Lord and to do so with one heart and one voice united in song.
As we've noted, the current LDS hymnal has not been updated since 1985. And as a result, you know, I told my sister, who's been out of the church for decades now, that I was doing this talk, and she just laughed. And she says, every other major denomination in the whole world has made their hymnal gender neutral. What is it with the LDS one? And I said, well, you know, we're usually a little slow on these things. I attended a session at Sunstone several years ago, on gender-neutral language in the hymnal, but I just didn't feel like it drilled down enough to what we really need to do to change this. And the only real way we have of changing it is basically as we're singing it on the fly. How many of you have changed hymns as you've sung them? Look at you. Go! This is the group. The problem is that they hit so fast that, you know, you're into a gender problem before, you know, you're singing along, you don't recognize it. So Laura Compton here, our indefatigable chair, she told me that what she does with her hymnal is she goes through and she puts little sticky notes on all the problem hymns. The problem with that is that then you have to drag your hymnal to church, and it's just another thing. So, I don't know, I looked on my phone in my, you know, gospel library to see if I could highlight problem hymns and sort of have a heads up. The only way I can think of to do this is just sort of to memorize them and just be real sensitive to the use of the word man as standing for mankind and work hard to find a solution for those. So I put together this little list here. Now, we didn't know how many people were going to come to this, so some of you may not have one. I would urge you to move forward and try to sit by somebody who looks like my friend Elsa has a few extra. What I've done is gone through and tried to find gender inclusive terms to substitute in LDS hymns. The problem is you got to get one syllable terms, two syllable terms, and three syllable terms. That part's not so hard, but if you're trying to match the rhyme scheme and sometimes the rhythm, you can have a hard time with it. But we're going to do our best. We're going to tackle some of the worst ones, and as a group, we are going to edit them. So let's start with the one that drives me crazy. I mean, I love this hymn, And the primary children learned it and everything. Lord, I would follow thee. But we've got a lot of brothers in here. So what do you think we ought to substitute for I would be my brother's keeper? What would you substitute? I would be another's keeper. What else would you put in? Neighbor. Neighbor was the one I liked a lot. Sibling. Uh-huh. If you're sitting in Relief Society, which I have been, singing this song, just say sister. Okay? That one's pretty easy to fix. And, whoops, I'm going the wrong way. So sorry. Because I have been given much, same problem. I shall divide my gifts from thee with every other, every neighbor. What else have I got here? Every person that I see. And so then you've got the problem of pronouns, that he too may be comforted. They is kind of a plural pronoun, and this is we're not paying attention to that. Okay, that they too may be, okay, we are going to suspend some grammar Nazis' feelings about this. Men are that they may have joy. We are that we might have joy. Yes, says, oh men. Yeah, well, this is a refrain from the scripture. So by changing this one, we are effectively editing scripture, but we're going to do it, right? We are that we might have joy. Yes, it's the New Revised Translation. Put your shoulder to the wheel. The world has need of willing heart. Well, we've got hearts, souls, folk. Yeah, I like to use, like every Christmas I keep thinking, God rest ye merry gentle folk. I'm desperate to get the change on that one. What? The world has need of willing friends. Pick from your one syllable thing. Truth reflects upon our senses. Once I said unto another, in thine eye there is a mote. If thou art a friend, a neighbor, hold a what? Can we think of anything better than neighbor? It has to rhyme. If thou art a friend, another, though that doesn't quite work. It's not always possible to get a totally clean thing here. Yes. I'm sorry, say, Karen,
if thou art a sister, brother.
We have to take out one syllable. Yeah. Okay. You have to think of this in advance, yes. Oh, that's right. See, so the other way to do it is to alternate. Okay, so we could use brother in verse 3 and sister in verse 4 and her mote I would erase, right?
Well, loving okay. Your sister dearer could cause some problems with your wife.
When I saw another's failing, I was not in it. That one's pretty easy, okay? Faith of our fathers, and we've got a whole bunch of hymns like this. What would you say? Faith of our forebears. Ancestors doesn't fit. It has to be two syllables. Parents. I mean, I'll agree. It's not quite as grand as faith of our fathers. And it doesn't, you know, I'll start with F and everything. But we got to make some changes here, folks.
Forebears is very grand.
Forebears? Well, forebears is on the list there. So... It's an iconic phrase.
It's an iconic phrase that other religions have changed in their hymn books already.
It could be faith in our Father. I think
the more iconic the phrase, the harder it is to change. It's true. Faith, here we go. God of our fathers, God of our forebears, God of our parents, whose almighty hand. God of our fathers, we come unto thee. I mean, it just comes off the...
God, our Father,
known of old.
But we have a female deity also.
Yeah, not totally. Yes, Levina. Quiet, I can't hear Levina. Okay. By time 30, we sing God of our parents, we will feel comfortable with it. Okay.
We did this for 10 years. You know, my husband and I were members of a UCC church. We had a completely inclusive hymnal. It's true. At some point, you forget that you ever sang it the other way.
Okay. Does that hymnal include God of our fathers?
Yeah.
Okay. We have testimony that this works. Okay, we'll sing All Hail to Jesus' Name. I believe Bob mentioned this one, The Grave Yield Up, It's Dead. Oh, wait a minute, I can't hear Lori. Lori, stand up and yell. Well, that is on my little list here. We can alternate mother and father and alternate. We can alternate brother and sister too. Okay? Here's the hardest one. I believe in Christ.
Does anybody
what are we
really going
to do with the last line here? To rule among the what?
Sons is still bad.
Rule among all humankind.
It has to rhyme. This one I could not come up with a solution for. Yes, Levina, you're an editor. Among the sons and daughters of men and women. Alan.
You changed the whole last line. To rule all women and all men.
To rule all women and all men.
See, now this takes more than I could probably edit on the fly, but that's a good one. Let me give you a couple of other things that Laura has done, which I just love. It's just a word here and there, but it's tricky to keep track of. All creatures of our God and King, verse 3, it gives to men both warmth and light, to give to all both warmth and light. Hymn 69, all glory, laud, and honor, verse 2, and mortal men and all created should be, and mortal souls and all created. Yep. Hymn 73, praise the Lord with heart and voice. Let all men on earth rejoice. Let all those on earth rejoice. This is my favorite of hers. Jesus, the very thought of me. One of my top favorite hymns, number 141, verse 2. O Savior of mankind, Laura has rewritten, O Savior just and kind. Don't you love that one? We love that one. Yay, Laura! And that Easter morn, verse 1, proclaim to men that last and first to proclaim to all. And all of the Christmas hymns can be done that way too, right? Now, I just want to mention the Vicki Eastman Hymnal Defacement Program. This you can do in your very own wards, surreptitiously. It's hymn number 284, If You Could Hide a Kolob. Did I get this? Oh, yeah, here we go. Let me go down here so you can see this. Oh, come on. What have I done? Oh, no, now it did that. Okay, I'm getting there. To rule, okay. All right, we've found a solution to I Believe in Christ. To rule among us all, amen. Good job. Thank you, thank you. We've got some really smart people here. Okay. If you could hide a kolob, verse 3. Yes. What you do is wherever you are sitting in your chapel, you get to hymn 284 and you write G in front of race. And everybody will feel better. Okay, there's Laura Compton's good ones there. Warmth and light, all mortal souls, let all those on earth rejoice. O Savior, just and kind, proclaim to all, and peace on earth, goodwill to all. Now, let's sing a couple of things that are rewritten hymns. This goes to Hope of Israel. Let's just sing along. You know the tune on this. I'm going to turn off the mic. My voice is shot, so we'll just all sing together. Okay, I don't think we're going to do all the verses of this, because it'll take... Oh, you do want to do all the verses, Bob?
Woman's hymnal, song.
Okay.
This is what women
it
sang.
Does sound not what we would write nowadays, but it was good for then. Do we want to do the last verse? One more verse, okay. Free verse to fall. This is a good group of singers. Good. I can see why Jane Ann is in a choir. My gosh. Okay, now this one came. This one was sung, this rewrite was sung at the Kirtland Sunstone. So let's just see how this feels. This is substituting mother for father in Oh My Father. And we have, how are we doing on time? Should we do 4 verses? Okay, here we go. I'm sorry, what? Does it need to be? I don't know how to do that. Laura knows how to make it larger. Oh, yeah, we can do it. Yeah, we can go up to 100 and there we go. Okay, I'll just follow that along. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wouldn't that be so much better on Mother's Day? Wouldn't we all feel a lot better if we could sing that? Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, okay, the other thing is that there are new hymns being written in the Mormon Church. Every year, the church has the what they call the music submission event, and they give awards to people who submit hymns, anthems, hymn texts, children's songs, instrumental work. And so the question is, where does all of this happen? My husband, Alan, over here, won in 2010 for the best hymn text. Fred Voros in our ward, whose hymns we're going to sing in a moment, is winning this year for a choral anthem. Where does all that music go? I'll tell you, it's like the last scene in Raiders of the Lost Ark, where all that beautiful music is put in a sealed box and put in a huge warehouse, unlabeled, with boxes and boxes of other year's stuff. It's like it vanishes. It vanishes. However, people still write. So if you want more new hymns on Saturday morning at 8:30, I know it's a ghastly hour, but it's going to be worth it, we are going to spend some time singing new hymns. And many of them, the best ones, I'm just crazy about what Fred Voros is writing these days. The man has got, he's just writing beautiful, beautiful stuff. So here are a couple, and these are on paper. So if you don't have a copy, try to get by somebody who does. Here are two new hymns that specifically are gender inclusive. So Alan, could you play for us, Let Us Not Forget Our Mothers, just play it through once. Okay, let's work our way through this one. Here we go. Isn't that a sweet one? The next one, also by Fred, is Fred Voros. He sort of conceived this as a children's hymn. So let's have Alan play through this. The melody in the first line goes all over the place. Go ahead, Alan, play it through for us. Thank you. Just play the melody on the... Okay, you're going to do that between the two, the little thing? Okay, all righty. We're warned. We've got a little interlude. Just play the melody up through the third thing here. Just so we can get that. Okay, that's what we needed. Okay, let's try it, shall we? We are... Yay, Fred. Come Saturday morning at 8:30 for more. Thank you very much. That was fun. Smart group.
One change that was made in the 1985 hymnal that I would like to make back was in How Firm a Foundation. Because when I was a kid, I thought Yoo-hoo unto Jesus was hilarious. But you know what? I really miss that personal connection, first name basis thing with when it's who unto the Savior. So I want Yoo-hoo unto Jesus back. Okay, so my church music experience is wide and varied, but I do have some primary experience. I was a primary music leader in my ward for 3.5 years. And the primary songbook is as old as the hymnal. It also came out in 1985, which incidentally was the year I graduated from high school. The first thing that they need to do when they have a new hymnal, I'm going to pull this out. The very first thing when they make a new primary songbook... Hang on. The very first thing they need to do is ditch this song. Very first. Because it is plain old racist. Not just the hand motions that are still taught in many primaries around the church, but the very music itself is racist. It's fake Native American song, it's culturally appropriative, and it just needs to go. Bye-bye. I don't think any of you will disagree with me. Okay, the second thing is, in primary programs every year, besides the songs that the kids learn, there's usually one hymn from the hymnal that the kids have to learn for the program. And some of these we've already talked about as having problematic gender-exclusive language. And what I did when I was a primary song leader is we just skipped those verses. So while I was primary music leader, the hymn one year was Lord, I Would Follow Thee, and we just skipped the second and third verses that talk about being my brother's keeper. And it's a lot for the kids to learn anyway, right? That was my justification. And we sang I Believe in Christ also, and we just did not. Well, I Believe in Christ is an 8-verse song, so essentially it's kind of portmanteaued into being a 4-verse song, but it's really 8 verses, so I felt absolutely zero guilt about getting rid of some of those. Another thing that I did in when I was a primary music leader, there's this wonderful song. It's a really lovely and melodic song. He Sent His Son, that was on the program. And if you look at this song, how do you scroll on this thing? So, yeah, it's okay. I'm using the mouse. If you look down here, here we go. Here's our problem. He sent his son to walk with men on earth that we may know. So if you look at the rest of the song, it doesn't really talk about, it doesn't use any, very many pronouns. That's the first one, and it just comes out of nowhere, and it's totally glaring. But if you look at the rest of the song, how could the Father tell the world of sacrifice, send his son to die for us? So what does the Father ask of us? Okay, so when you have it all of a sudden right here, he sent his son to walk with men on earth that we may know. There's a problem there. It's not just that it's gender-exclusive language. It's bad writing. So what I did in my primary, I just changed it. I said, walk with us on earth that we may know, because then you have pronoun agreement within the sentence, which is very important from a grammatical standpoint. Okay, next. Let's see. What do I have next? Okay, another thing that I did, there's a whole series of songs in the primary songbook about the Holy Ghost. And each one of them, and I love, this is my favorite of the three, the Still Small Voice. It's very different sounding compared to most primary songs, and I think it's because it's by Merrill Bradshaw, who's not typically a primary song composer. So this song, and this is, there was another song about the Holy Ghost that was part of the program, and I substituted this one instead because I liked it better. But in all of these songs about the Holy Ghost, wherever it says he and his, I don't know about you guys, the Holy Ghost in my own personal church worship is not gendered. So the Holy Ghost doesn't have a body. The Holy Ghost doesn't have sex, as far as I can tell. So to me, the Holy Ghost is it. And so in all of these times, and I don't know that I changed this, told the kids this specifically, but every time I sang it, I said, it will lead me through the night and give my soul its light every time. And there's three specifically Holy Ghost songs right in a row. Thank you. the other one is Listen, Listen, which is, it's actually on the bottom of that one. Listen to the still small voice when you have to make a choice. It will guide you always. And then the last one is called the Holy Ghost. You want to sing these? The still small voice, it's a wonderful song. Yeah. Yes, I know, but we're almost out of time, so I have to hurry through the other things. We have to get to the really juicy stuff. Okay, so besides the one hymn that kids learn every year, and then a bunch of primary songs that go with the theme, this sometimes they will add a song that's printed in the primary program that's passed out to each ward. This year that song is called The Family Is of God. And I was talking about this last night with my family, and my nine-year-old son said, "Oh, the first verse is okay, but the second and third verses of that are awful." So, straight from the mouths of babes, I don't know if you can see this, but we do have it just text. I think I'm not sure we have the original one just text. I think you just have the revised one. Yeah, a father's place is to preside, provide, to love and teach the gospel to his children. A father leads in family prayer to share their love for Father in heaven. And then a mother's purpose is to care, prepare, to nurture and strengthen all her children. She teaches children to obey, to pray, to love and serve in the family. So it's terrible. It's just terrible. Reinforcing, I mean, we think that maybe sometimes things are getting better, but this is like total retrenchment. Family roles. So what happened when we talked about this at the very beginning of the year when the primary program came out in the Feminist Mormon Housewives group, this came up, and one of the members of our group, this is the one, this one doesn't have the proper appropriation on it. Maybe I didn't put it on there. It's by Matthew Neely, but this is the original. Maybe I didn't put the new one on here. I didn't transfer it over. Anyway, I will read it to you. That's the original music. I didn't transfer this on there because I thought it was already on there. Lisa Haight Stott, who's a member of the Feminist Mormon Housewives Facebook group, Sister Slut is her common moniker. Long story. So she left the first verse as is and the fourth verse as is because they were very nice. So the second verse that she put was, we have our parents up above who love to help us make the journey back to heaven. We feel their presence when we pray today, and with them we can always live forever. And the third verse, the Spirit guides us as we pray today to help us learn and get to know our brother. The Savior shows us how to care, to share, to truly help us love and teach each other. And then in the chorus, we've changed it to be, God gave us families to help us become what they want us to be. This is how they share their love for the families of God. Adding Heavenly Mother into the chorus. The other one, last one, is Zina Peterson wrote these wonderful additional verses to I Am a Child of God. And I think we should sing this one for sure. Perhaps a hat tip to Levina talking about how maybe we're all adolescents of God, right? We're on our way to becoming adults of God. We would hope. So here's these additional verses by Zina. Can we sing this still small voice? I think it's on page 108, 107 or 108 of the primary songbook.
106.
Through us.
thank you all for coming. I just wanted to say how important small things are. When we were singing, "Oh My Mother," I watched you. There was a certain point at which I couldn't sing anymore. And I know some of you couldn't either. And I saw the tears in your eyes, and I saw the joy in your heart and in your voice that we could sing such a thing. One of the reasons why, when I teach my students at Graduate Theological Union, UC Berkeley, about Mormonism, I teach them what an enlightened idea we have of deity. We have a mother, and we should sing her praises and sing about her as often as we can. Thank you, Vicki and Jane Ann and Laura. Sure, we're...
Well, we need to let the ordained women folks come in and set up.
We're not going to get in the way of ordained women.
Why?
Thank you all for coming and sing.
Now we have time. Yeah, I was thinking the next one started at 3:45. So we've got 5 more minutes. Let's sing our song.
Alan,
come back and play for us. Unpack your music. Those of you who appreciate Alan's playing, he'll be playing for us again on Friday night's Pillars session. You'll have the opportunity to make sure that the songs that we sing are gender inclusive.
You'll see why this song is really a catchy song, and kids are going to like it, but the words are toxic. In fact, there was a case in Gilbert, Arizona, where the primary pianist refused to accompany the second and third verses and was released. My ward, we decided to eliminate the second and third verses, and I hear on the internet that a number of wards are doing that. There is some pushback against this song.
And whether they would do that. My son says so far they've only learned the first verse. Our Father has a family, it's me. Are his children. He sent each one of us to earth through birth to live and learn here in families. God gave us families to help us become what they want us to be. This is how they share. Presence when we
serve my family and be a good example to each family member. And when